B-Pod Studios.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We didn't generate nearly enough, no matter who was in nets. We had two odd man rushes right out of the gate. I think Marsh and Pasta both passed them. When we had good looks to, you know, good chances to score a goal. And usually when that happens, it tells me, okay, we're overpassed and we're not, you know, maybe as dialed in as we need to be. Let's find it. And I thought all night was a little bit like that in terms of even the low to highs. Our D were kind of wristing shots through and they had a chance to, you know, pound pucks. And then, you know, a couple of them got through for tips. But in general, just the mentality of shooting and shooting hard and going to the net. I thought we lacked some of that tonight in terms of overpassing, and it's been an issue for us this year at times. So this isn't new. We'll work to correct it and talk about, you know, playing off the original shot and our zone spacing as well. And hopefully that opens up some offense for us, because I do believe that, you know, Craig hasn't played a lot of hockey for them. He's a good goaltender and you do want to sort of take advantage of that. Now, eventually we got going and had some plays around the net. You know, we were just off a little bit or didn't quite finish, but in general, there needs to be more of that.
Bruce Cassidy on his Bruins as they get ready for game two tonight.
So I hear that, and you hear what he said after the post game about the no shows. You know what I expect? And I expect them to come out flying around like banshees first period. Like pepper the net. Have a little more intensity. You know, light a fire into your ass a little bit in that first period. They should own the first period tonight.
Ryan Queen with an email says, are the Bruins' asses tight?
That's what I asked you.
Similar to what you've said.
He said, it's a bad goalie. We got to try it.
And he says, I don't remember the exact quote, but Marchand was talking pregame about how giddy he was for the series and for the game. Are we getting to the point now where players like Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak, and to a lesser degree, or Pasternak to a lesser degree, are pressing and trying to do too much? Bergeron and Marchand have to know, at least in the back of their mind, that they're getting older and their last two cup appearances ended in losses. Are they too tight? Love the show, Ryan. I don't know.
I mean, look at the reality. You're human, right? And you sit there and you say, okay, we got what, third team, 40-year-old goalie. I know he's not 40 yet, years old yet, but in net, like, this is our opportunity to explode on this guy. And yeah, you squeeze the stick a little bit too much. Sure. Maybe you look for that extra pass. Tonight, don't look for that extra pass.
Also, Michael Cormier saying, I don't know if you guys have covered this, but where do you think Chara's influence came into play during the last game? He knows top players' tendencies. He could have explained how to nullify these players in the best possible way. Chara's got, you know, the scoop on all these. And you know what I would say? I don't think it matters because these teams have played each other so much and they've seen enough of each other. Mm. And if you're trying to talk about picking up on tendencies, you could figure it out for yourself.
That's what makes it a great series. That's why it's going to be a grind. I think fans of this Bruins team over the years historically like these type of hard-nosed type series. You know, this isn't the Islanders round one. You get through this team, this will be your most physical series you play.
617-779-0985. Tim is in the truck today. Tim.
Timbo.
Oh, my goodness gracious, boys. The concession guy. Tuukka Rask has been here 10 years since Timmy Thomas, and what's he won? Nothing. He dumps on himself in the playoffs every season. Every time they go to the playoffs, he dumps on himself at one point or another. Two, if the first two lines scored the two goals last night, everybody would be complaining that there's no scoring from the bottom two lines. We got to take one or the other here. You get scoring, you get scoring. If it hits him in the chest and he knocks it in with his pad, Tuukka Rask lost the game.
No, you know what,
Tim, I gotta say.
Tim, I would say that Tim's obviously upset that there's any complaining whatsoever about the Bruins. Maybe you don't know the Bruins fan base all that well, but they're still real fans. They're not soft. They're
right.
Real fans. They get pissed off routinely. It's why you got to love them. I would not be complaining about the bottom two lines not scoring, because as I told Hardy off the top today, I'm at a point where I expect so little from that I don't care.
Yeah, but I mean,
when have we ever complained about third?
Are we going to kill Wagner because he didn't score?
No,
I mean, right.
No, but anything you get is gravy from that fourth line. You like the third line, and you know what the top two lines are. You're not shaking any lines.
What you want from the fourth line is for them to go out there and agitate and stop goals from being scored and kind of hold the line until you make another change. And then you get, and then you wait for Marchand and Pasternak to get back out there and hopefully do something and have Patrice be have Bergeron be the facilitator.
I'll tell you why that take is a bad one. We have celebrated Nick Ritchie like you wouldn't believe all year, collectively, as a city, while giving Charlie Coyle a complete pass.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you hear the complaints about Coyle? I mean, not as much as you should.
No.
For a player who's not lived up to expectations this year or his ability this year. He had a bad year. We haven't spent a lot of time on that. No one has spent a lot of time on that.
If anything, you've killed DeBrusque more than anybody. You know?
Yeah. It's about the top two lines.
Yeah.
It's about those top two lines. It's the same story we've been talking about with the Bruins in the playoffs.
Yep.
Over and over again. This is not new.
No, they need to get hot. And again, I like it's a perfect spot for Hall to make things complicated for them in a negotiation. Go out and skate your ass off and play and score. Make them want to sign you and keep you here and have to pay a little extra maybe.
I get a little upset.
What do you get upset with?
Tuca craps himself every time in the playoffs. Did they lose game 7 against the Blues because of Tuca?
They did not.
Okay. No, it's the same thing just that you checking. Saw Saturday pretty much.
Just double checking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game seven against the Blues was somewhat symbolic of Saturday night.
And you're not allowed to question him leaving the bubble. We found that out the hard way.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Right. Don't question what he was doing a day or two after getting back home.
What?
You're not allowed to.
You can't mention golf?
Nope.
Okay.
That's not
allowed. The coach
allowed.
Said it was a non-issue.
Brendan's pissed off that...
Can't mention that.
He says, good morning, gentlemen. How is benching Tuca. Tuca, the topic of conversation today. How and why are you even entertaining this baloney and taking calls on this? Tuukka Rask is quite possibly the most underappreciated athlete to ever play in Boston. Mm. Completely unwarranted disrespect for an all-time NHL goalie. Tuukka Rask is third overall. Third, he writes in all caps, overall, in all-time save percentage.
I thought that was Bogart's award.
And what is probably the most indicative and quantifiable stat for measuring goalie standards, he sits behind only two others, Dominic Hasek and Ken Dryden, and not by much. Well, first of all, I just start with this. When you start throwing around Hasek and you start throwing around Ken Dryden's name, the first thing I say is, how many cups did Dryden have? How many? Like, he's got a handful of rings. He got full hand. And Hasek won two. Multiple cup winners, both of those guys. But here's where I think the argument comes a little undone. In postseason save percentage, he is 10th all time. Doesn't that represent some sort of drop-off? No? He says, how are we still having this conversation? What does this guy have to do to get the respect he deserves around here? 16 straight shutouts. On the way to winning the cup? Is that what he needs? Good grief. Give it a rest. Well, I can tell you, a lot of people talking about it. Mm. That's why it's a topic of conversation, because it's always a topic of conversation, because there are people that don't believe in him. And the coach keeps answering for that. And the player keeps answering for that. And they keep talking about it. George in the car. What do you say, George?
How's it going, guys?
Hello, George.
I want to get this call, and this is all good stuff that you guys maybe can research. I broke my phone and can't get online anymore. Number one, the Bruins aren't going to win with Rask in that unless they get lucky. I'm a hockey player my whole life. It's my whole life.
Okay.
Hold on. Now, before they get down two games, they should put Twaben in, even if it's a little bit, if he lets up a shitty hope.
Literally.
You're not on the bench in your men's league in Saugus. Clean it up, pal.
And there you go. Hockey's that man's whole life, and he just said put Swayman in.
Right.
That's why it's a topic of
conversation. I defer to them. Because I can't skate. The hell I know.
Ken Dryden
has... You know you don't start Swayman tonight. That's what you know.
Ken Dryden has won the cup 6 times.
A few Vezinas, too.
It wasn't 5. It was 6.
Yeah.
6 times he won.
He's good. Pretty good player.
Not bad. Not bad. A lot of rings there. Mm. Yeah. He's got his name on the cup a few times. They just keep engraving his name on there. Tuca's on there as a backup. 2011.
Stop it.
His name's on there, right?
You see, he's trying to get that Swayman thing going.
I'm not.
You would love for
Tuukka,
it to get going.
Tuukka should be the goalie tonight. And I would, like Hardy, say he is the default goalie for any other game going forward. He was not the reason they lost on Saturday.
If this team's going anywhere, this guy's got to be your goalie and he's got to play well.
But don't tell me it's not a thought. That it's not something that will continue to be talked about. And that if Tuukka plays poorly, the hook may be quicker in this postseason than any other postseason he's played in. That's a fact. We know that.
Wait a second. And but we can do this on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
Zoe just said that he's got to play if this team's going to win and go anywhere. If Tuukka were to say have an issue with the back or something tonight, and Swayman that's goes in, different. You don't think they can win with Swayman?
No, that's a different issue. I mean, I just think realistically, if you have lofty expectations, and if this core, this group, they need to get there together. And I think Tuukka needs to be on the top of his game, because I think if he is, this team can beat anybody. You can't. They're contender.
617-779-0985. Will Anderson be in net again tonight? That's something we're waiting to find out. That could be the case. More on that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds from talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just thought as a whole, wasn't our, you know, we didn't get to our game and sustain it well enough. We had it in pockets, but you know, you're in overtime, so you have a chance, you know, you got to hopefully, you know, find it then. And basically the same goal they scored on, we had the same chance right before that. Losey had a shot, you know, got through to the goalie and with a bit of a screen and, you know, he made the save and they came down, had a similar look that just, you know, the puck had eyes.
Seven 22 here on Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub from our Town Fair Tired Studios. Yeah, it's not often we drop a breaking news sounder for non-sports related news, but this will impact sports.
Yes.
Here locally in Boston going forward.
This is why you got to keep winning.
Will impact your lives in a big way. Here is some breaking news for you.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Governor Charlie Baker has just announced that all remaining COVID restrictions here in this state will be removed as of May 29th.
Happy Memorial Day.
Next Saturday, May 29th. So, that means that's it. The restrictions are done. Apparently the only thing that will remain is wearing masks on public transit. That is apparently the only thing that will remain after the 29th from what I'm reading. The governor is speaking right now. The announcement is literally being made right now as we speak. But the headline is, and it generally is true, that is, the state will lift all COVID restrictions as of May 29th.
So you say, why do I say keep winning? I mean, this could potentially affect Celtics and Bruins full capacity then, right? That's full go. Garden packed.
Yes.
Home, baby. There goes Hardy's traffic problem.
Charlie Baker, in his statement, that he's published on his website, state website, saying that Massachusetts leads the nation in vaccinations and is on track to meet our goal of vaccinating 4 million people by the start of June. And therefore, that is what has led to the May 29th date of the restrictions being lifted.
That's big because a lot of people are looking at that August deadline, and I know a lot of people that are friends of mine that have some business in that. They'll be excited about this.
I don't know if that's a pro-jab agenda, as the conspiracy theorists would say, Hardy, but that's something I can get on board with. Getting a COVID vaccine so we can all start to live our lives again. I guess that's my pro-jab agenda. I was getting emails from people when I wasn't here last week.
And by the way, feel free to email me again if you've already emailed me once with one of your nonsensical conspiracy theories, because it's a very easy to set up a rule to go straight into the junk folder. I can't that email away. I'm not going to block you. I won't ever see it.
Can you block email?
You can, but it's so much more satisfying just to set up a rule where it goes straight into the junk. When you start mentioning, you know,
don't respond. Just give them the time of day.
When somebody's going to, you know, email and first of all, start off with, you know, threats and name calling and then mention the vaccines right in line with, you know, flat earth and stuff like that. That's straight to the junk folder type material. So feel free to keep sending along. But the good news is May 29th, 100% open. That's what they're saying.
Yes. Yep.
That's what the governor just said.
Yes. Yep.
Everything open.
Bars, restaurants, everything.
That was originally planned for August 1st.
Yes.
So that is moved up by 2 months.
It's a big one.
I will say this, just for the people who don't want to get vaccinated, thank somebody who did.
Yeah.
Because...
I think this isn't happening otherwise. Hardy and I were talking about this in the hallway. I think people are kind of getting out there to begin. Like, traffic's bad today. First Monday in a long time. Really bad traffic. If you go around on a weekend, you know, folks are out and about. I think trying to handle things the best they could, and you see less and less masks out there. And I don't know. I just think this is big for a lot of businesses. People have been struggling a lot this past year, have been waiting for this, and it's good news for them. Good news for them.
Bruins
is up and running.
On the list of topics here today, as we talk about the Bruins, they get ready for game two tonight against the Capitals. Kyle is in Salem, New Hampshire today. Kyle.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Beetle, right before you guys went to break, you brought up a good question about if Greg Anderson's going to play tonight or not. And my call is kind of contingent on that he is. But one thing that I noticed watching the game on Saturday was he was letting up some juicy, juicy rebounds. And I just think that if he's in net tonight, I totally agree with you guys. He needs to get peppered. Throw everything that you can at the net. But I also think that the Bruins need to crash the net, and they need to be ready for those secondary rebounds. If they can't put it by him the first time, put it by him the second time. Thanks, boys. Go Bees.
All right, Kyle. I think Hardy sort of hit on that earlier.
Yeah, like different style tonight, first period. Just go attack this guy.
Put the puck on the net and be ready for a rebound. But that requires you to be out in front. That requires you to have to get dirty a little bit.
Go get in the slot.
That requires you to
get dirty.
Maybe get
hit. Sleeves up.
Craig Anderson will turn 40 Friday.
He'll turn 40 during the game.
He's going to have a birthday this week. This week he turns 40.
Knee will start hurting.
I mean, that's what the Bruins are up against. A goalie who could not go in the butterfly, and a goalie who's 100 years old.
It's the worst thing.
And they couldn't figure that out? I'm sorry. I'm not going to blame Rask for this one. I can't do it. Let's go to Mike and Revere. I just realized Mikey. It says Celtics on his call screen line.
What do you got?
This better be a really good call to interrupt this Bruins talk with this.
Yeah, I was just wondering why they're not talking about Valanciunas, bringing Valanciunas in the offseason, what he's doing in Memphis.
That team is so not worth our time at all right now. Forget your offseason.
I feel bad for him being on hold.
Oh, my God. I'm glad we cleared that one out.
Don't do that today.
Don't
be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah. Time's that game start tomorrow night? 9.
We're talking about a team with legitimate opportunity to move on and play multiple rounds and potentially be better than that with the right set of circumstances for the Bruins. The Bruins didn't look good on Saturday night. They are not a dead-ass team like the Celtics are. Okay, the Bruins have a chance. The Bruins, you have hope.
Well, maybe Tatum will score 30 tomorrow.
The Bruins, you feel like when they're challenged and they're down and they have a bad game, they have a response. that they don't just hit rock bottom a dozen times in a season.
So I'm so excited for tonight. See how they respond in the first quarter. First period, big one tonight. Sneaky, big period. Not a must win. I'm with you. I'd like them to win. It's not must, but it's a must period.
Kevin in Attleboro. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
I'm not a Bruins fan, and you guys are really turning me into a Tuukka Rask fan just by, well, not you guys specifically, but Bruins fans with the way that they're talking about putting Swayman in. First off, Mike's a moron because Russians play great hockey. And second is the narrative around Rask just seems uneducated because even the year where you lost to St. Louis, Rask had way better numbers than Binnington. Having a good goalie and a team that can't finish is like giving a Ferrari to a mediocre driver. Like, you've got to know how to use your great goalie. You can't score no goals in a game seven and then blame your goalie. It doesn't work like that. And you can't say you got scoring from anybody when you score two goals and lose 3-2 in overtime. Two goals isn't enough to win an NHL game.
All right, well, Kevin, we're going to give you the opposite of what you just said. Steve in the car, give us the other side of this argument.
All right, fellas. Well, I think he needs a history lesson there. And actually, this is for the fellow who sent you the email with all the stats. So I'm going to put this in terms of Ken Dryden and Dominic Hasek, okay? Because those guys won Stanley Cups. Here are things that they never did. In 2010, when the Bruins were up 3-0 against the Flyers, they lost Game 4 in overtime. Guess who was in goal? Tuukka Rask. He lost the next three games. Thank God he was not their starting goaltender in 2011 because we know what would have happened. In 2013, Game 6, Stanley Cup Finals, Bruins are leading by a goal.
At home.
Tuukka Rask lets up two goals. In the last 2 minutes, they lose Stanley Cup. In the playoffs, we're on the line. 2016, Tuukka Rask ate too many chicken wings, could not show up for the last game of the season. We needed Detroit to win, lose and the Bruins to win. The Rangers did their job and beat Detroit. Tuukka Rask was getting stomach pumped. In 2019, Game 7, he couldn't make a simple save on one of the first shots of the game when Marchand went off. Marchand takes the blame. 2018, Finland benched him because he was playing so poorly. And then, of course, we had in 2020, the wonder of it all, Tuukka Rask bails on his team because he can't take the bubble and his wife doesn't know how to use a cell phone to call 9.
Okay, we're not going to go down that road, but factually, he left the bubble. He wasn't there at the end. I will not put the Stanley Cup loss against the Blues on him. Sorry, can't do it.
Left the bubble in a non-emergency.
Marchand did leave the ice at a bad time and allowed a breakaway. I mean, you're talking about like a toss-up at that point. It's a 50-50 coin flip. Are you going to get the stop or not? He didn't.
But at least
you can't hang the entire Stanley Cup on Tuukka Rask when he played great throughout the playoffs.
He was the MVP of the playoffs that year. Like he was on fire. I mean, it was an easier road than what it looks like you may have this year. The path, easy path.
Well, Hardy has our headlines. We'll continue with Bruins calls throughout the day, 617-779-0985. We did want to get to a couple of other things, including Robert Kraft having spoken publicly about his quarterback situation. Ooh. How about that? We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sports Hub. Want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right. But it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Robert, I know you love Tom Brady. You guys always had a great relationship. He's returning to Foxborough. What are your thoughts on that?
We're excited to have him.
You're excited?
He's a great guy. And he did so much for us. I love him.
And then the tickets are going for, I heard, like, in the thousands. You know what I mean? Like, to the fans considering on the fence about getting that ticket, what do you say to them?
Well, we should have a fun night.
Fun night?
But I'm excited for week one when we play Miami.
Mac Jones.
What are your thoughts on Mac Jones?
I'm excited to have him, but I'm excited to have Cam Newton too.
Oh, Cam Newton.
Just see him like that.
Who do you want to see starting? Cam?
I let Bill. I paid Bill a lot of money. Let him decide.
Robert Kraft in Beverly Hills on Friday, talking to TMZ.
Great answer.
In what way? Tell me why it's a great answer. I'll tell you why I think it's a great answer right now.
Yeah, doesn't do it. Just Bill.
Oh, of course. He's not going to get into who should be the starting quarterback. He's smarter than that, guys.
Jerry Jones would answer that guy. Way. Yep.
Well, Jerry Jones is a moron right. when it comes to running a football team.
Of course.
He's a great businessman, but he's a dummy when it comes to putting a team together.
Right.
That's why his team has sucked for two decades and come up short for two decades. More than two decades now. But let me get back to this answer about Bill Belichick making a lot of money. I want to go back to the report that was out there from Mike Florio about Bill Belichick making $25 million a year. And I said, and will continue to say, where do you think that came from at this critical juncture in the Patriots franchise?
I see what you're saying. From a pressure standpoint and, you know, all eyes on you and what you make, it's time to respond. Yeah.
I mean, what was the reaction when that came out? $25 million. Holy bleep. He makes $25 million?
It was stunning. I think it's high. I think it's less than that. But we know Bill makes a lot of money. And I think there's a kicker in there that every time these guys get – big contracts, meaning his peers, other guys, head coaches on other teams. You know, when Gruden came back in, that may have gotten Bill another bump because it accelerates Bill's.
Could he have given the same answer without saying that he pays Bill Belichick a lot of money?
I think Robert's always done that, though.
Okay, the answer is yes.
He likes saying, I'm the guy that signs the checks.
Yes, but yep. I mean, but when it comes to Bill Belichick, he could have said, well, Bill's the coach. He makes those decisions, not me. I'm not the coach. He's the coach.
I pay him
a lot of money.
There is an
error
when you respond that way that, hey, I expect results when I pay somebody as much as I pay them.
It's also sort of a great shield as an owner to say, don't blame me if Cam Newton's out there starting week one and he stinks. I didn't make the call on that. That's him.
He didn't go over the top to hitch his wagon to Cam Newton.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Don't look at me.
I think in an ideal world, he doesn't want Cam Newton to be his quarterback. I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I mean, you saw the product. You saw it. There is excitement down at Gillette this past weekend about how Mac Jones has looked.
You know, you might look at that TMZ 30 seconds he gave and say there was nothing there. I think there was a little something there. Forgive me for thinking there was a little something there. Yeah, well, I pay Bill a lot of money. As you now all know, as you've now read, that guy makes big dollars, and last year was terrible. Now I am putting words in his mouth. What did he call it? Horrible. He said last year was horrible. So there he is again. Out there, out in Beverly Hills, hanging out with the stars as he likes to do. Happy to have Tom Brady coming back.
He's feeling good. He's got the logo jacket on, too. He's got the Patriots logo sweatshirt on.
Oh, very important.
Well, I mean, you see him. He's usually got the black shirt on, and you know, he's got a baseball hat on and Patriots gear. Like he's a noticeable guy to begin with. Like Robert's pretty popular. Yeah, now you got the Patriots. Oh, look. Oh, that's Robert with Patriots gear on. That's like even doubling down. Like he's feeling good. He's excited about this year.
Because spent he's wearing a Patriots track jacket?
Spent a lot of money. No, that they got the guys that they wanted in free agency, and they drafted a quarterback. There's buzz. There's an excitement about this team and this season starting.
Therefore, he's willing to put the Patriots logo on again?
I'm just saying.
Like you were when you came in after the draft?
I'm just saying. You're going out. You're flying. You're flying out to the West Coast. It's a six-hour trip. Grab my Patriots jacket. Help me pack that away.
Really let people know that I'm believing in my team again.
Strutting around in Beverly Hills with a Patriots pullover on. It's nice. Nice. I like it. People are excited. We just got the news. Everything's full go now. Might have fans at practice. Might have packed fans at practice. That'd be great. Camp's back on. A lot of good things. Exciting. It's going to be an exciting preseason, believe it or not. Everybody's in preseason football. There's a lot of stuff up in the air here.
The NFL screwed up in making their schedule. We have learned.
Did they or didn't they?
They did.
Oh, they're trying to make real football games scheduling?
Not for reasons that I had considered, but now that I hear about them, it makes complete sense.
I find it funny.
Listen up. I think there might actually be a change on the way. I think it's possible.
No way.
I think it's possible, Zoe. We'll tell you about it, the schedule, how they messed up for fantasy folks.
Fantasy bleeps, that's right, yes.
I said
Fuchs. Kevin Folk.
Yeah, exactly. That and how the Patriots need to take advantage. We'll get to that and your calls on the Bruins as we continue on here on this Monday on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Drive home with Felger and Matt. Right now, Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I had to take a minute and realize why it was you were playing this.
Wait a minute. Oh, fantasy.
Yeah. I don't think we have enough Mariah on this show. Good one, T-Bone.
It's a good summer jam. I mean,
how many hits do you think Mariah Carey has had?
54.
Like a million, right?
Yeah.
She's got to be really rich.
Yeah. Plus Virgin Records. She's under him. Yeah, because I remember when he had that island at Necker Island. She was only like the first guest there. It's Mr. Richard Van Branson.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh.
Would you like to fly my airplane? He's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, you think? Oh, is he? Oh.
You see that? You're wearing that, huh? Oh,
Mariah Carey has released 86 official singles, 22 promotional singles. Number one hits? She has had 28 top 10 hits.
Jesus,
28
that's the number I wanted.
Top 10 hits.
That's the number I wanted right there.
She could survive off her Christmas album alone.
Mariah Carey is now in fifth place among all musical acts when it comes to the most appearances inside the highest region of the Billboard Hot 100.
Wow. Damn.
I should play this post-game party. Good music.
Are you in the post game party?
Oh, thanks to good stuff barbecue Blackstone. Phenomenal. Help with the spread. Good ribs. Smoked their own meatloaf.
Really enjoyed seeing the coach drinking the beer off the trophy. That's not a trophy.
We're both doing it. We're delusional.
That's not really a trophy you should be drinking off of, but
yeah, you could.
You guys got creative.
I can see the top here. It's still got it on it.
What do you mean?
They damaged the trophy?
Oh, no, you don't clean it.
They didn't clean it.
Cleaning trophy.
Gronkowski, like, dents the trophy. You keep it on there. You know?
Same thing. Same exact thing.
Same thing. Got those kids all signed
up. I can't believe that
fall.
Trophies have not evolved at all in the last, I don't know how many years. They're the same thing they've always been with the plastic gold and the.
Well, what else are you going to do?
Those, the plastic with the shiny laminate stickers on it.
You want it to look big, like it's really worth something there, but...
How is the trophy game not improved?
Hardy's in there playing catch ball in the back room with
catch
Tyler playing catch. And the ball's going over top. I'm like, you snap the top of this thing.
They'll cost you upwards of a dollar and a half to have it fixed.
Sometimes I have to rush that to Tiffany's to get it figured out.
I get there and then what was the one movie Hardy where they passed out the trophies all in? It was like a baseball player on top and it was a football trophy banquet.
Yeah.
Sorry, they ran out of the football. We had to slap a couple. Wasn't it a Little Giants or something?
I don't know.
I don't understand what the need is for the Eagles on the top there.
Because they fly high.
The birds. You know
that means power. America.
Like, what is that all about?
Oh. Bald eagle.
Yeah, anyway.
There's Eagles?
Patriots have a week 14 bye. And when the NFL schedule was released, what did we say about it? We said, wow, that blows. No bye until week 14?
Right.
That's absurd. Peter King points out in his Football Morning in America column that the league put a quartet of byes in week 14 without realizing that it would be the first week of fantasy playoffs. In addition to the Patriots, the Colts, Dolphins, and Eagles will not play. Peter King notes that ESPN Fantasy, this now reading from Pro Football Talk, will apply a cumulative approach to the postseason round, with the game stretching over 2 weeks and eight quarters. That will lessen the impact of such a late bye week, but for those who make fantasy a big part of their football season reality, it becomes an important consideration when putting teams together for the 2021 fantasy season. Another possibility would be to simply add a week to the fantasy regular season and start the playoffs in week 15.
Hardy, what would you do if, like, your fantasy season gets
screwed up?
This
is for season-long fantasy?
Yes.
How many people are still playing season-long fantasy as opposed to daily
fantasy?
Way
more than you think.
A lot.
Yes, way more than you think.
Why do you have your fantasy draft?
I still have it.
Like draft parties.
I still play it.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Year long.
Wow.
Still do it.
You keep up with it, too, like weekly.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to figure that out.
It, like 10 years ago, it was probably five leagues I was in. Now it's down to one. So it's not as much. I don't think it's as, I think you're right. There are fewer leagues. There are fewer people. But I still think it's a large number of people that do participate.
I do appreciate it.
Here's the change. Here's the change. They're not going to do this again next year. There's not going to be week 14 buys in 2022.
Okay, so that's your change point.
Oh,
I thought you were saying they're going to change the 2021 schedule.
I don't think. I mean, that'd be so complicated at this point.
Yeah, you're up the river.
Yeah, I don't think they could do it. But
nope.
I think they're going to change their scheduling so that next year this doesn't happen.
Oh, I agree with you. They will take that into consideration. Because the gambling stuff that they're in bed with now, and sports books and all that, and DraftKings, hell yeah. Yeah. I guarantee you, they will take it into consideration after this. They wouldn't touch this season, though. So,
yep. So I think
I understand why you can't adjust your fantasy season and just, bump it.
You can, and I think that's what most people will do. I just don't think it's typical, and I think that this is going to lead to the league. I think the league will change their approach next year as a result of this.
Wow.
They will change real-life, real-world football games to accommodate the fantasy schedule. That is something I believe will happen. 617-779-0985. Let's go back to your phones with Will, who's in Quincy today. Will.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. I just wanted to start by saying that, I don't think Rask is the reason necessarily they lost last night, but, he gave up a soft goal. And at the end of the day, you look, it's not a huge sample size, but to me it's enough. It's not just a couple games that we saw with Swayman. He played enough where, to me, if they continue to play him, he was literally a, Vezina candidate-type play. And, I think that it's a stupid thing, but really he's a couple inches taller than Rask. You see Rask get beat over the shoulder all the time. And, I was watching the game the other night, and I see some of the shots on him. And even the Wilson goal, Swayman plays out a little bit further, and that's one of those ones where it was a great shot, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, Swayman might have had that. I think that these relationships are a little bit tarnished right now on the team. You heard the interviews, earlier. I think the guys like to play for Swayman, and I've seen games from Swayman already where he stole the night, and that's the difference with Rask this year. I haven't seen that.
So Swayman has stole games?
Has Swayman had a better year than Tuukka Rask?
I mean, it's a smaller sample size.
Have the highs for Swayman been higher than Rask?
I mean, Rask has been good. You sit here and just dump on Rask because you lost the game 3-2 the other night in overtime in their building when your offense didn't show up. I mean, Swayman lost 1-0 in 1-0 in Pittsburgh, but he got credit for that game, even when the offense didn't show up. scoreless, held scoreless throughout three periods. Swayman got all the credit for that game. Like, it's, people are ready for Swayman. They like Swayman. This is the hard, toughest thing for Tuca. This is Tuca versus Locke. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about it today.
Let's pick up thoughts on game one and thoughts on game two tonight between the Bruins and Capitals. We'll do that in 90 seconds after the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.